Many a slip. And here's your chairman, Roy Plumley.
Many a slip, round two, and the first round was won by the ladies. The teams, on my right, the ladies, Isabel Barnett and Eleanor Summerfield. On my left, the gentlemen, David Nixon and Paul Jennings. I read out some stuff with mistakes in it. The first player to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, you'll hear this. If it's a gentleman, you'll hear this. Scoring when we come to it, and the chairman's decision is final at all times. Looking along the many a slip bookshelf from left to right, or if you're sitting with your back to your radio right to left, there is a David Nixon.
If you're only listening, I can't see that it makes a great deal of difference whether you stand on one leg or hang out of the window.
Makes no difference. Two marks. It's one mark for spotting a mistake, another for correcting it, and the marks are credited to your team. But if you press a button for a mistake and there isn't one, then, Eleanor Summerfield, what happens?
You give two to the other side.
There's a copy of The Diary of a Nobody by George and Whedon Naismith, which is the... Paul Jennings.
George and Whedon Grossmith.
Two marks. Which is the story of the day-to-day affairs of Charles Peters. Next to that, Isabel Barnett.
No, not Peters.
Pooter, two marks. Next to that is an omnibus edition of Emily Dickinson, the English authoress. David Nixon.
American.
Two marks. Who is famed for her short stories. Then, Isabel Barnett.
She was a poetess.
She was indeed. Two marks. Then, Every Man in His Humour by Sam Johnson. And if you haven't, Isabel Barnett.
By who?
Sam Johnson. You're playing
Ben.
For time. Ben, two
Ben.
Marks. Ben Johnson.
Well, I had to have time.
And if you haven't read this novel, you should. It was first Isabel Barnett.
It's a play.
Two marks. Okay. Performed at the Curtain Theatre in 1498 with William Shakespeare and the cast Isabel Barnett.
He was an Elizabethan. You're a century out.
Yes, 1598.
15,
two marks.
Something or other.
The third and last book I shall mention in this piece... Eleanor Summerfield, for a change.
This can't be the third book you've mentioned. You've mentioned this is the sixth book you've mentioned.
Fourth book.
Two to the gentlemen.
Fourth book.
The two to the ladies, book. Yes. Was the fourth. The fourth and last book I shall mention in this piece is William Shirer's The Rise and Fall of the Second Reich, which is probably Eleanor Summerfield.
No, not me. Third. The Third Reich.
The Third Reich, two marks.
My friend said, yes.
Which is probably the best book ever written on the reasons and effect on Europe of the Nazi gangsters. It's an awful warning. David Nixon.
No, I don't think you could say that. You should say that. The reasons and effect of... Can you have a reason and an effect and link them together? Shouldn't it be the reasons for the Nazi gangsters and their effect on something?
Yes. I'll accept that for
it's
two marks.
It's a bad case of Zeugma.
Zeugma.
Yeah. Thank you, yes.
This is a family audience.
He came out in shirt sleeves and a bad temper. That's what it is.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's an awful warning of the disasters that follow chauvinism, jingoism, and protogen. David Nixon.
There's a mistake.
A safe one mark. What was it?
Well, you can't go that far without a mistake. And you can't work with Mr. Messiter for 57 years without knowing that it often comes on the last word.
Yes.
So what was that last word?
Protogen. P-R-O-T-O-G-I-N-E.
It's not that stuff you have
protogen.
Late at night, is it?
It's that long stuff with hairy legs, isn't it? Protogen. No, we just have the one mark.
Yeah, it's all you're going to get. Yes, protogen really doesn't fit in with chauvinism and jingoism. It's a type of rock found especially in the Alps. And at the end of that first piece, the ladies have won 18 points and the gentlemen have 12. Which brings us to the memory piece. I read out some prose, and later I'll read it a little differently, and the teams will tell me just how differently. Success, however slight, can only be appreciated in others by those who have it themselves. The ordinary fellow, unconscious of his shortcomings, who does not have success, can only envy it in others and cannot admire it because he's never worked hard enough or long enough or had failure enough to realize the difficulties that success is built on. One of the thoughts of Messiter, you buy it in a little red book. And now I'm handing over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
The song is ended, but the memory lingers on. And that was Isabel. Hello,
Isn't
Isabel.
It the melody that
It is the melody. It gets you off to two marks in the music spot. It's strange how many tunes start with those first three notes, G, B flat, C. David?
G, B flat, C.
Yes.
G, C, B, B. No, that would be a minor. G, B, B flat.
No. There's a certain... Yeah. The various confusions going on. I was right. G, B flat, C.
Ah.
Those three notes. So you had two to the ladies.
My piano's out of tune. And
Or if you should prefer, David, tonic sol fa, mi so ti. There's no, you lost that one. It should have been mi so la.
Yeah.
Too late. How little we know starts with those three notes. Oh, somebody rang. David, somebody knows the tune.
Somebody's heard it before. Yeah.
David.
There's a lady in the third row thinks that's wrong.
Yeah, well, the lady in the third row will have noticed about 17 mistakes by the time at that point.
I won't charge you 17, just one for spotting it.
Why not, yes. One to the lady in the front row, none to the gentleman or to the lady. Same three notes again at the start of Mac the Knife.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, I'm anchor soon.
It is, so that's two to the ladies. There's also the old Irish song, Eugene O'Neill. Isabel.
That isn't Eugene O'Neill.
No, he's a fuller, actually.
Sing Eugene O'Neill.
Well, I can sing the rest of that.
He's a dramatist, so you can't sing him easily.
Yes. Shall we have Peggy O'Neill instead?
Peggy,
Here's the tune.
Ooh.
David.
A very subtle one in there, in between the change of phrase. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You put one note in too many.
No, too subtle for you, actually. I did play it correctly. Two more to the ladies. Oh, well. Carrying on, those same three opening notes yet again. G, B flat, E flat. Isabel?
It wasn't G, B flat, E flat last
time. G, B flat, C.
Yes, that's right. You got it. Two marks there. Same notes begin Ray Noble's tune Chickasaw, this one. David.
No, that is not Chickasaw. And it's something about indigo.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconut.
No, no. Cherokee.
Cherokee, yes, that's right.
Indians. Indians, that's what I meant.
Yes, nobody ever sweated more over two marks than our David, I tell you. There's also Over the Waves. Isabel.
It's not Over the Waves.
That's right,
bum,
what is it?
Bum, bum. It's a Blue Daniel. Strauss. The what?
No.
Here we go with more troubles. No, it was in fact
Skater's Walk.
Yes, you got it. You got it. On top of all these popular songs, of course, there are countless uses of those three notes among classical composers. People like Rossetti, Sabatini, Mascara, Paul Jennings.
I wish I could remember them.
You rang after Rossetti. Yeah.
Yes, Rossini, not Rossetti.
Yes, Rossetti did a different kind of art.
There's not one called Mascara.
No, no, well, you get just two marks for that. For my last example of mi-so-la tunes, tonic so far again, David?
No, not mi-so-la.
Yes, mi-so-la is right.
Was it?
Oh. Mi-so-la. Two to the ladies. I've chosen Umbrella Man by Sarah Gamp. David, this time you may get two marks, I think.
I will get two marks because I laughed.
Yeah, you were going to say it was by Kavanagh, Rose and Stock, weren't you?
I was going to say
right,
that.
Two marks.
Can sing it too.
Here's the tune. You'd missed one earlier, Eleanor, yes, you noticed something wrong. Yes, two
nice
marks
words.
To you. And here's the very end of the very end of that chorus. David, the last phrase for your 2 marks. Yes? 2 marks and goodbye.
Thank you, Steve Race. And at the end of the musical mistake spot, the ladies have 50 and the gentlemen have 32. Success, however little, can only be appreciated in others. Eleanor Summerfield.
There's another S in there. Seldom be appreciated. Success, however slight.
Right, 2 marks. Can only be appreciated in others by men who have it themselves. Paul Jennings.
Whatever it was men.
Not men.
What was it? 1 mark.
By those.
2 marks. The ordinary chap, unconscious of his... Paul Jennings.
Whatever it wasn't chap.
What was it?
It was a very sort of dignified piece of prose altogether. The ordinary person. Man, perhaps. Person. The ordinary person.
Person.
One mark. Isabel Barnett.
I thought it was person, so I'm wrong. Too.
Individual.
One to the gentleman.
Fellow.
Fellow, yes, too late. Unconscious of his shortcomings, who does not have triumphs, can only... Paul Jennings.
Can you say that again? Who does not...
Who does not have triumphs.
No, who has... Who does not have successes. Yes, it wasn't triumphs. Who doesn't have successes. Thank
success,
you,
success. You have your 2 marks. Can only envy it in others and cannot like it because he's never... Paul Jennings.
Cannot admire it.
2 marks. Because he's never worked hard enough or early enough or had... Isabel Barnett.
Never worked hard enough or long enough.
2 marks. Or had failure enough to understand the difficulties that success is made of. Isabel Barnett.
That's wrong.
What is?
Success is made of.
One mark.
That,
glory be. I wish I had...
I don't know. I
should
just
have been
know
built
that...
on built and on. Understand should have been realised. The score now, 40 to the gentlemen, 55 to the ladies. And now the year, 1955. President Eisenhower had been President of the United States of America for only 5 years. Isabel Barnett.
Less time than that.
An estimate, please.
55. I think he came in 52, 53-ish.
Inaugurated in January 1953. 2 months.
Done.
The Kenya government issued surrender terms for the Mau Mau. David Nixon.
So they did.
So they did. Just 1 minute. Isabel Barnett.
Wouldn't they, to be strictly correct, have issued surrender terms to the Mau Mau?
I think you have a point. I think
I've got three.
Well, it depends which side of the fence you're sitting on.
I think four or two. Ideally, I'd give you one and a half. I'll give you two.
How kind.
At Pittsburgh University, a vaccine was prepared against polio by John E. Salt and David Nixon.
John E. Salt? Salt.
Jonathan.
Salk. S-A-L-K, that's Salk. Right. And the Christian name?
Jonathan.
Wrong.
It is a J.
It is a J.
Yes, known as the Salk vaccine.
Jonas.
Jonas. You're right. One to the gentleman, one to the lady. Jonas E. Salk. And on April the 6th, Britain found a new prime minister in Sir Alec Douglas Hume. David Nixon?
Eden.
Anthony Eden, we think.
Quite right. 2 marks. Who followed the defeat at the polls of Clement Attlee. This was Isabel Barnett.
No, he followed the retirement of Sir Winston Churchill.
2 marks. This was the year of the famous motor show remark, Mink is too hot to sit on, said by Mrs. Braddock. Also, David Nixon.
Mrs. Braddock, did you say?
Yes.
No, I don't think she would have said that.
Who said it?
It sounds like Lady Docker.
It was Lady Docker.
Was it?
Also in England in September, commercial TV started. In Venice, we read... David Nixon.
I heard this one talked about the other day. There's no... Really, this, strictly in this country, there's no such thing as commercial TV. Is there?
Explain.
If I'm wrong, I will keep quiet.
Explain
well,
to
because
me.
It's independent. It's not supposed to be commercial.
Oh, yes,
the those little bits that come in the middle that help to
the
pay us if we're not working on this channel are nothing to do with the programme.
Yes, you're quite right. There was a kind of euphemistic piece put out. It's independent television with advertisements and not commercial television. 2 marks. Clever of you to remember that. In Venice, we read of the wedding of 15-year-old Princess Ira Hamburger. While in Argentina, Isabel Bennett.
Oh, no, she was Ira von Furstenberger.
Furstenberg, 2 marks. while in Eleanor Somerville.
And in Venice, I wasn't in 1955, so in Venice I didn't read Ovid. So I think very perhaps good. You should have
it's
said
in Venice,
we read
comma,
yes. In Venice something
I think
something,
you are
something.
Trying to split a hair and I don't think we're going to encourage
fine
you. In Venice we read of the wedding of 15-year-old Princess Ira Furstenberg, whilst in Argentina, the other side of the world, crowds were cheering and celebrating Isabel Barnett.
Were they? I'm so
it's not strictly the other side of the world. I mean,
oh,
it's across
yes,
the
it
world.
Where's the other side of the world from Argentina? From Venice.
From Venice?
Well, you'd be over the other side in the Pacific.
Argentina.
In the South
really,
Pacific.
Fiji.
Yes.
Marks.
Oh, Fiji. Oh.
Crowds were cheering and celebrating in Argentina Juan Perón's recent election. This year, David Nixon.
They weren't cheering his election then.
What were they cheering?
Kicking him out.
Expulsion, 2 marks. This year also saw the publication of Lolita, written by Mrs. Mary Whitemouse. Eleanor Somerville.
No, she didn't write that one. She wouldn't have approved of that one. Was it Nabokov?
Nabokov.
Vladimir Nabokov. And for the first time on any screen was seen Cecil B. DeMille's King of Kings. Paul Jennings.
I thought you were going to say Cecil B. DeMille. Anyway, there's a mistake.
There's a mistake there. Yeah. What my friend is trying to say, that... that it wouldn't have been the first time on any screen because of the rushes, you see.
Oh, no. Two to the ladies. Isabel Barnett.
Well, as the oldest here, I can say I saw it when I was a child. It was a long time before that.
It must
it was
have
in
been
the
a,
20s.
Must somewhere. Have been a rerun. It was actually first shown in 1927, two to the ladies. In the world of science, Dorothy Hodgkin discovered the composition of vitamin B12. Paul Jennings.
Surely it was long after 19...
It was in 1955, two to the ladies. Winfield and Dixon invented terylene, and the discovery...
Oh, no, terylene had been about long before that. It was used in the hosiery trade in the 40s.
Yes, right. Invented in 1941, two to the ladies. And also the discovery that Jupiter emits radio waves was made by Mr. B.F. Burke. Eleanor Somerville.
It couldn't have been a B.F. if he discovered that.
There can't be Somerville. I'm sure his name wasn't B.F. Burke.
The discovery that Jupiter emits radio waves was made in 1955 by Mr. B.F. Burke. The score is now 75 to the ladies,
what chap?
50 to the gentlemen. I'll now read you something that doesn't contain the letter K for King. If a conjurer wishes to do a thought-reading act, it must be remembered... Eleanor Somerville.
If a conjurer wishes to do a thought-reading act, it must be... I beg your pardon.
That's just two to the gentleman. Yes. Must be remembered and acknowledged that there are several... Paul Jennings.
Acknowledge.
2 marks. Okay. That there are several well-known such acts about... Isabel Barnett.
Canone.
2 marks. For that reason, if not for others, he must consider David Nixon.
We must. Yes.
The ladies have 2 marks. For that reason, if not for others, he must consider quietly what sort of a... Paul Jennings.
I'm glad you
I meant to ring it very
more.
Quietly.
So to the ladies, what sort of effect he wants to make on his audience, Isabel Barnett.
Oh, no.
Make on
two
his
marks.
Audience.
Make. Before, yes, make.
You hadn't said make when she rang the bell.
Oh, yes.
Says two to us.
Before he wants to make on his audience, before he can even commence the careful, calm calculations essential to a cautiously conceived occurrence. David Nixon.
Would you mind saying that again?
Two to the ladies. Basically, he must tie a metaphorically memorable knot in his mind from which, David Nixon...
Cannot.
Cannot, 2 marks. From which to hang all the action of the act, and from there... David Nixon.
If there's a slip of the K.
Two to the ladies. And from there protect himself from being exposed to the more inquisitive members of the public. When the curtain comes down to the cacophony of applause and acclaim, he will only then, Paul Jennings. Just two to the ladies. Know about the measure, if any, David Nixon.
No.
2 marks. If any of his success... And the score at the end of that...
Don't tell us.
89 to the ladies, 60 to the gentlemen.
We We're giving them a bad time, you know.
Here are the names of a few well-known dogs. Bill Sykes in Dickens's Old Curiosity Shop had a dog. Eleanor Summerfield.
Bill Sykes never went into Dickens' Old Curiosity Shop. He was Oliver Twisting.
Two marks. He had a dog.
And Bill Sykes wasn't a dog.
I didn't say he was.
The way is the way you read it.
He had a
just
dog.
One to the ladies. Had a dog, as retentive readers will remember, called Bullnose. There was also Eleanor Summerfield.
His name wasn't Bullnose.
What was it?
Spot or something.
Bull something.
Bull.
One mark.
Nose.
It was Bullseye.
Something else.
There was also a famous dog belonging to the mythical Pluto called Cerebral, who was... David Nixon.
No, that's something rather nasty. He was called... what's that?
Cerebus.
Light the Salt, yes.
Cerberus.
Cerebus.
Yes. Yeah. Isabel Barnett, you had anything to add?
No, I was just going to say Cerberus as opposed to Cerebrus.
Who was reputed by some to have three tails to wag. Isabel
Barnett. No, he got three heads.
Three heads.
Guarding the path.
Yes, and according to some writer, a voice of bronze. Two marks. If you've read Joyce's Ulysses, you may have come across... The Citizens, David Nixon.
Ah, well, it depends how well you read it. No, you shouldn't it be if you've read, you will have come across?
Yes, it should. Two marks. The Citizens, mangy old mongrel Gary Owen. There's a dog called Tartar belonging to Shirley in the book of the same name by Emily Bronte. And Isabel Barnett.
Wrong Bronte.
Which Bronte?
Charlotte.
Two marks. And that sturdy Liddesdale farmer, Dandy Dinmont, in Scott's Gay Mannering, owned Isabel Barnett.
Guy Mannering.
Guy Mannering, two marks. Owned a couple of terriers called Mustard and Salt. Alexander the Great, David Nixon.
I challenge Mustard and Salt.
What should it be?
Mustard and Pepper.
Two marks. Alexander the Great, Isabel Barnett.
No, Salt and Pepper, surely.
Mustard and Pepper.
Oh,
that's
really?
Two to the gentleman.
Oh, I thought that was
Alexander the Great is supposed to have named a city after his dog Peritas. Byron had a dog called Boson, which is Paul Jennings.
I'm sure he didn't.
I'm sure he did. Two to the lady. Byron had a dog called Boson, which he said possessed beauty without vanity, strength without insolence, courage without ferocity, and all the virtues of man, including his vices. But nobody, David Nixon.
All the virtues of man without his vices.
Right, too much.
Because those are men's vices, aren't they?
But nobody ever remembers the name of the dog in Dombey and Son that Toots gives to Florence Dombey. Isabel Barnett.
Well, somebody must.
Yeah, especially if they've just read it.
Yes, indeed,
I mean,
somebody
we
must.
We might not. I certainly don't.
No,
two marks. The dog is called Diogenes. Well, to finish this list of fictitious dogs, we've chosen... Isabel Barnett.
One of them's real. The one that Paul queried, Boson.
Not all fictitious. Two marks. We've chosen Punch's dog, Toby, named after the dog in Tobit, one of the books of the New Testament. And Isabel Barnett, that was a slow reaction.
Hmm. Yeah, it isn't in the New Testament.
Where is it?
I don't think it's in the Old Testament. Is it in the Apocrypha?
It is in the Apocrypha. At the end of that piece, the ladies have 107... And the gentlemen have 70.
We do.
Humphrey Pumfret, the many-a-slip detective, had just seen the film Rear Window with the lady who is now Prince Grace of Meccano. And who was that? Isabel Barnett.
Monaco.
Right. Two marks. And thrilled by the direction of Alfred Hathcock, was looking everywhere, David Nixon.
Hitch,
yes, two marks, was looking everywhere for criminals. As he passed by a street vendor who was selling old novelties, he became suspicious.
A contradiction in terms.
Old novelty.
If it's a novelty, it can't be old, except me.
Two marks. The day was warm and sulky, yet the man was wearing...
It's got to be sultry.
Two marks. Yet the man was wearing two overcoats on top of each other. David Nixon.
Two overcoats on top of each other.
Yeah.
On top of one another. Or one overcoat on another.
One on top of the other will do. Two marks. Pumfret looked closely at him, but not being gifted with extra sensual perception, could not...
Extra...
Sensory.
Sensory, two marks. Could not discover the reason for this behaviour. The vendor would obviously not divulge the reason without being asked. Paul Jennings.
Divulge,
two marks. Suddenly a two-tone black Mini, driven by a man, David Nixon.
No, ma'am? It couldn't have been... they don't have them in two-tone black.
Two-tone black? Difficult.
No, very difficult.
No. Two marks. Driven by a man looking just like the previously mentioned Alfred Hitchnot, drove past...
You didn't call him Hitchnock the first time round.
Hitchnot, I said.
Well, you shouldn't have. You called him half.
Half-cock.
Yes. And what should it be?
Hitchcock.
All together now, too much. Drove past and, drawing level with the salesman, the driver got out, delivered a violent Karachi blow, and then drove off. David Nixon.
Did you say a Karachi blow?
Karachi blow.
No,
oh,
that's...
it's not either goal, is it?
No. That's what you do for the Indian road trip. No, this was a Karachi blow.
Karachi blow, too much. Just this once, Pumfret did not follow, as he was becoming increasingly more frightened. And it was impossible, Eleanor Summerfield.
You can't say increasingly more. You say increasingly frightened or more frightened, but that's tautology.
2 marks. And it was possible to make a forecast of the future. But as we said, David Nixon...
More tautology.
More tautology. Forecast or...
Future.
Yes. 2 marks. But as we said before, he was not blessed with extra sexual perception. Eleanor Summerfield.
Well, we didn't have to say that quickly.
Eleanor?
We should have said extrasensory. That's what we said before, or should have said before.
Whatever turns him on if he wants to say.
But you said extrasensual before, and you should... Need I go on?
No. Extrasensual. 2 marks. Less fun, but more usual. And that's as far as we can go. The closing score for the second round... The ladies win by 117 marks to 85. Which means that the ladies have won the first 2 rounds of this series. Until next week, then, on behalf of the teams, Isabel Barnett, Eleanor Summerfield, and David Nixon and Paul Jennings, and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was devised and written by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley and the producer, John Castles.